It's a Fan Friday episode on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard from FanRag Sports and NDT Scouting here with you, along with Trevor Sikkema of PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Trevor, we sent it out 12:10 last night, man. Sent out the query for questions, and we got 40 back.
I don't know. That's a sweet spot. Sending it out at night?
I know. I don't know what it is.
It's a sweet spot, man.
It's like people... I actually got a couple tweets before... like midnight. It was like 11:10, 11:15.
They were jonesing for it.
Yeah, people were literally like 50 minutes until Fan Friday. I was like, that's awesome. We have the best fans ever. It's crazy. Okay, so let's jump right into the questions. Mr. Irrelevant predictions right off the bat. Brad Kelly wants to know. I think Atlanta. He says Atlanta's picking there. I feel like it's. I always feel quarterback. I feel Riley Ferguson, Memphis.
Oh,
Mr. Irrelevant prediction. What? You stopped?
JT Barrett.
Oh my. Okay, that's not a bad one actually. I think he's going to go undrafted, but that's not a bad one.
I think Barrett's going to seventh round. What? No, I don't think he's going undrafted. I really don't.
He's going to be right on the cusp of it.
I don't think he's going undrafted, man.
I think he could go either way.
He's just got way too much playing time, way too much quote-unquote leadership.
Yeah, quote-unquote. Who's your all-chirp team in this year's draft? Oh, Jair for sure. Dude, Jair, like, oh my gosh, he has so much swagger. I just love his game, man. Yeah, I love it.
Jair is good.
Rashawn Evans. I don't know how much he chirps on the field, but like his style of play is just like that type of intense, intimidating style play. I don't know. Rasul Douglas was probably the king last year. We got to go through the all-chirp.
Was he really?
Yeah, Rasul Douglas was unbelievable amount of chirping. At Senior Bowl practice, it's all he did. He didn't, like, the first day, they didn't even know each other, these guys. And he was, like, chirping at everybody. It was awesome.
We had, all right, so I'm trying to think, who was on the, now I can't even remember, who was on that West, East-West Shrine roster. And it was just, like, from day one. They were getting in everybody's face. It was awesome. I'll have to look them up. I can't remember. Yeah. I can't remember who was on which roster. I'm going to look that up right now. Go to the next question.
Obviously, Baker Mayfield, too, by the way.
Well, yeah. All
trip team. You have mentioned that you are using, I think this one's to me. You've mentioned that you are using a numerical grading system. Can you describe how that system works? How do players score points and suffer deductions? What do you have to score to be a first-round prospect? How does it protect you from your own bias? So a lot of questions here. I can explain a little bit about how the grading system works. It's pretty simple. I give points based on traits, and I've actually written articles about it too over at NDT Scouting, so it breaks it down even further for you. But I give points based on traits, more points for traits that I believe are more important, less points for traits that I believe are less important. But each position group right now is around 10 traits. I think they're all at 10 traits actually. And then I also factor in combine scoring as well. So they can score points that way. I don't deduct for injury because I'm not a doctor. I don't know the extent of things or off the field. So I just use really combined performance effort, competitive toughness, and on-field performance to build the grade. And then I flag anything else. And if you're a team, obviously that's concerning to you as an evaluator. You know, if Roquan Smith had a history of broken legs but was still an unbelievable player when he was on the field and as refined and polished as he is, you know, it's not going to be my fault if it happens again in the NFL. You know, I'm not going to feel like it was my grade or whatever was off on him because he suffered an injury in the NFL. So I'm just trying to evaluate what I can control. To score a first round prospect, you have to be an 86, I think an 86 or higher. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. And the scale's out of 40 for my players for this year. We'll see if it changes, but. That's kind of how it works. Why is Lamar Jackson invited to the draft and not Baker Mayfield? Baker Mayfield is invited to the draft. He just said no to going. He's watching from home. Is Josh Allen?
We're going to see a lot of prospects just do that.
Yeah, right.
I think. Not like just this class. I think in general, we're just going to start seeing people not go to the draft. Because sometimes, if you sign an agent, you can start doing sponsorship stuff, can't you? Like, sure. Right away?
Yeah.
So, like, I assume, like, if they have, like, if it's a big prospect, they can have, like, a get-together, and it can start to be, like, sponsored events almost.
Probably. Well, I'm sure. Is Josh Allen's arm better than Patrick Mahomes? I don't know. It's probably comparable, at least.
Yeah.
Mahomes has one of the most insane arms I've ever seen. But Allen does, too. It's probably comparable. Hard to right. say for sure.
It's kind of certainly the same isn't. Thing.
Don't listen to anybody who tells you it's clearly one or the other. Because that's, yeah, no. What is the most likely picks that Buffalo would have to give up to jump to number 2 or number 4? Both first, but would they have to give up a first next year as well? Is one or both second rounders on the table as well, or just the 2 firsts this year? To get to 4, definitely the 2 firsts this year, and probably at least 1 second. To get to 2, you know, you're paying more than the Jets probably. Even the difference between 2 and 4 is probably, I think you might have to give up both first this year and a first next year to get to 2.
Yikes.
I don't know. I could be totally off on that. I think that's what.
That's so many draft picks.
I know. But hey, this is the price. If they hit the quarterback, it's all that matters, baby. They're not getting to 2. The Giants are staying put, I think. I'm feeling more confident about that.
That'd be too much. That'd be too much for me.
Yeah, yeah. Which player with a first round grade will get drafted last of my first round grades, I'm guessing?
Oh, nice. Yeah, there you go. That's
a good question. Let me pull up the list real quick.
Who are some of them? Give me a handful of them.
Okay, I'll just go through them because Quentin Nelson's going first round. Now he'll be picked early. Roquan Smith, Darius Geis, Josh Rosen, Bradley Chubb, Harold Landry, Saquon Barkley, Sony Michel, Maurice Hurst, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Isaiah Wynn, Denzel Ward, Baker Mayfield, Jair Alexander, McGlinchey, Ronald Jones, Derwin James, Josh Sweat, and Justin Reed. Those are my first round grades. Ronald Jones is going last out of all those guys. I feel fairly confident in that.
Yeah.
Confident. What would it cost the Patriots in order to move into the top 5 of the draft to get a quarterback? Obviously both first rounders, but would they have to give up both seconds too?
Yeah. Yeah.
In the top 5?
Yeah. To get in the top 5? Yes. Yeah.
You're probably right. That's a long way to go.
Yeah.
Now, they could give up something else. It wouldn't have to necessarily be both these seconds, right? Like, they could give up a second next year, it could be. They could probably finagle that, I think.
It will take them 4 draft picks, I think, to get up to that's probably the top 5. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it would be. They might be able to get away with a second and both first, a second and a fourth or something like that. Future fourth, I don't know.
I wonder if Cleveland. I feel like Cleveland wouldn't do them any favors. You know,
they're not high picks either. Like they're
right, 23 and 31. That's why I think it is going to be. It'll be 2 extra picks too.
Second question: where do you guys have DJ Moore at? I haven't heard you guys talk much about him. Yeah, that's true. We actually haven't talked a ton about the wide receivers in general, just because there's not a lot of high end talent. But we probably need to get on that a little bit more. But Moore is my wide receiver 3. He was actually tied with Calvin Ridley, an overall grade, then tied in the primary traits tiebreaker. The secondary traits tiebreaker, I think Ridley beat him by like half a point. So they are super close. Anthony Miller's my wide receiver 1. But I like DJ Moore a lot. I think he's an early day 2 type of guy. There's some inconsistencies. And he needs a little bit more polish. But yeah, he's good. He's talented.
I think Moore is my wide receiver 2, almost in every single category, because I'm breaking up wide receivers in like X, Z, and Y.
Right.
So I think Moore is my wide receiver 2 across the board.
Wow.
I think he's behind. Let me look.
My one issue with him as an X would be getting off press coverage.
Yeah.
Because his releases, not that he isn't big enough, his releases are just not really that polished yet. He faced a lot of off coverage, so.
I think it's Ridley and Ridley on the outside, and then Miller over him for a Y.
Yeah, Miller's freaking so good.
So, yeah, he's my wide receiver 2 across the board.
Did the Rams trade up from the 6th round to the 4th round with 6-7? Whoa. Did the Rams trade up from the 6th round to the 4th round with 6-7 players in mind? They believe they'll have a chance at. So they swapped their first for Cooks to make it happen. This is from Chuck Diesel, by the way, our boy.
I think that he's making fun of the Jets.
Oh, that's what he's. Yeah. I see it now. I was like, man, I don't know that anybody. I don't know that anybody has somebody in target in mind with going to the 4th round.
I mean, that's why I think he's mocking the Jets.
Right. I'm sure they'll have players that they
the Jets trying to tell us at the owners meetings that they moved up and have six or seven players in mind. Yeah, right, idiots. How stupid do you think we are?
See, now you're going off what I say. I said stupid fools on the one pod. Now you're stupid. Idiots.
Well, I mean, like, you know.
But how about Chuck Diesel with the low-key burn there?
Either you're an idiot for doing the trade or you think we're all idiots by telling us that. It's one of the two.
That's true, yeah. Out of all the NFL draft invites, who will still be left sitting in the green room at the end of round one? Oh, where are the invites? Do we know?
Okay. Chad Griffin.
Oh, yeah. I don't even need to look.
Chad Griffin's probably going to be the last one taken, I think.
Right. Which
sucks. Right. But
he's still going to go higher than anybody could have predicted when this process began. So it'll be a happy ending, I think. Which day three running backs have a potentially elite trait that could be maximized in a committee system? Furthermore, which day or two or three or day three running back prospect is the most polished receiver out of the backfield? Thanks, guys. We love Fan Friday. Thank you, Mountaintop Scouting. You're the best. Day two or day three running back prospect, the most polished receiver out of the backfield. I'm going to go Nyheim Hines for both of these answers. He'll either go day two, day three, somewhere around there. He was a wide receiver at NC State, so he's polished in that way. He ran even vertical routes, and he's got a really good skill set for that. Plus, he's got that elite trait they're talking about, that speed, man. Like, he could be – that could make him a home run type of threat in the right offense. So I don't think he's super elusive in the open field. I don't know if he's going to be a feature back, but I love him as a complimentary piece that can do a lot of different things.
I like that for that second answer. I think I'd say Ito Smith for the day three ones. It's just a guy who, you know, for day three – I think you're looking at guys who just have an elite trait somewhere, and you just want to get that aspect on your team. Maybe it's the perfect kind of question for that, getting him into a committee. Like, I don't know if Ito Smith can ever be a full-time dude, but certainly in a committee system, I think that he's got some good traits.
By the way, at Ito Smith's pro day, he ran the 4.45 40 to a 4.54, so somewhere in there was his times. He was 5'9", 201 pounds, 22 reps on the bench, and a 37.5-inch vert.
Dang.
Yeah, so he got hops, but I don't know about the rest of the stuff. It doesn't have any of the other stuff listed. So, here we go. More entertaining punter, Marquette King or Pat McAfee? Believe it or not, I was actually thinking about this. Pat McAfee, have you ever heard Pat McAfee talk about the fake punt they almost ran against Troy Polamalu?
Yes. Yeah, one of the funniest stories that I've...
I mean, I cry every time I hear it. It's so funny. King is so entertaining to me. On the field, I think King is more entertaining. Off the field, McAfee.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good. I think it's a good answer. Do you know anything about this? Getting
Gruden's an old school dude. Punters should just punt the ball. You know, they shouldn't talk. They shouldn't be on social media. He called his own fake punt one time. What was it, 2 years ago or something, King? He called his own fake punt, and he got 23 yards on it, I think.
Did he really?
Yeah, because he's a baller like that. I mean, sure, as a coach, I wouldn't want that to happen. As a fan, I think that's awesome. here we go. It's fourth and goal from the 5-yard line. Your team is down by 4 points and needs to score a touchdown. In this draft class, which quarterback do you want? Which playmaker?
Okay, what? Hold on. It's fourth and five.
Fourth and goal from the 5-yard line. Your team is down by 4 points and needs to score a touchdown. In this draft class, which quarterback do you want? Which playmaker, wide receiver, tight end, or running back do you want? And on the flip side, which defensive player do you count on to make the game-saving play? Terrific question by Josh.
It's a fantastic question.
Yes. I want Baker at quarterback. I want Baker at quarterback, but I was tempted to go Lamar there because the legs near the goal line, it's a big factor. Baker's got enough juice, though. Which playmaker, wide receiver, tight end, or running back do you want? Oh, man, Gesicki's a monster in the red zone. I'm not even that high on Gesicki, but in this situation, it might help. He's unbelievable in the red zone.
I'm going to start mine. I'm going to go Josh Rosen. And then for my wide receiver, I'm actually going to go with Anthony Miller.
I was actually going to honestly say that because people don't think, but he was unbelievable in the red zone for Memphis.
Rosen and him having if they have the timing together, Rosen's got the placement. Dude, if you got quick feet, man, you can create space in a red zone.
Yeah. I'll go Baker, Gesicki, and
who's a running back? Player? Are we picking running back or defensive
player. Said wide receiver, tight end, or running back for the playmaker that you
want. Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, I'll stick with Anthony Miller. I was going to say Darius Geis, but see, that would be counterproductive because Florida stopped Darius Geis in the goal line.
Florida did something positive. I missed it.
Dude, it was like the one good thing that we've done in the last like entire McElwain era. That and the Ole Miss game are basically like all I have
right
to make me smile.
Hey, at least you have something, man.
Defensive player.
Bradley Chubb. Dude was unbelievable at getting pressure when other teams were down by the goal line.
Yeah.
And he was just a clutch play guy.
I think it's, yeah.
I mean,
I'd almost say either Bradley Chubb or Rashawn Evans.
On fourth down, with his team up 4 points and the other team needing to score a touchdown, Bradley Chubb is going to tear your face off to get to the quarterback.
That's true.
That's what I like about him.
Yeah.
True. Thoughts on Christian Kirk and where he might end up? I have no idea where he'll end up.
He's going day two, 100%.
Yes, meaning he's not going day one or meaning he's not going day three?
Oh, meaning like he's not going day three.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know that anybody thought he would. His combine was horrendous, by the way. And we haven't talked about it at all. Have you seen his results? Look at his mock draftable.
His results literally live on the pod right now.
Now, his 40 was fine. That's not where the concerns come in, but I mean, everybody knew Kirk could run. I mean, his rest of his stuff was terrible. He ran a 4.47.
What? Yeah,
look at his 20-yard shuttle. He ran a 4.45. He ran like in one of the, what was he, the sixth percentile for wide receivers. His 60-yard shuttle was terrible,
too. His shuttles are the sixth percentile and the fifth percentile. Right.
And then his three-cone was in the 23rd
percentile. What in the world?
And keep in mind, he's 201 pounds.
Yo, this is trash.
Yeah, I know. His broad jump was in the 17th percentile. His vertical barely made it above average. 35.5, I feel like, is fine. But
this is the strangest mock draftable.
Yeah, and then he ran a 4.47, and you're like, what? But yeah, he was bad. I couldn't believe it was that bad. I mean,
wow, you know, like they have how they have those. You know how they have the comparison things.
Yeah, he has some good ones.
Golden Tate's 3-cone and 20 shuttle, also super trash. Did not think that was going to be the case.
Golden Tate kind of overrated, but
I mean,
Randall
is
Cobb
he?
Overrated.
Hold on, is he?
He's good. He's has his moments. I mean, like.
I think Golden Tate's underrated.
I don't know. Maybe he is. See, I say overrated because I spend so much time looking at this stuff, but to the average fan, he probably is underrated. Like, if you ask the average fan to list the top wide receivers or anything like that, he wouldn't be included. So maybe he's maybe in that way. But to me, and like, people are always like, oh, Golden Tate, like, it's a great comp. Like, I don't think that's a great comp, like, for a player. Like, if you're saying your peak's Golden Tate, I mean, I'm taking you probably in the third round.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not with you.
You're higher on Sir Golden.
Yes.
He just also comes and goes.
Also, I mean, what'd you say?
He just kind of comes and goes, I feel like, was his performances. I don't feel like he's consistently dominant or anything.
I don't know, man.
He's slippery after the catch.
I think he's got an IQ for the position. I think he's savvy.
He is savvy. I'll give you that.
So, I mean, like, that means a lot to me, especially when you put a
guy. I didn't realize savviness was high on your wide receiver traits board.
Well, I mean, like, if you're putting a guy in space,
yeah,
that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, he's got some. I wouldn't even call him, like, elusive. He's just, like, slippery and tough.
You know what I mean? I said the word savvy, did I not?
Yeah. He averaged 10.9 yards per catch and had 5 touchdowns last year, 4 the year before. Just over 1,000 yards, but he took him 90 catches both years to do that. He's, like, a little bit better version of Jarvis Landry. So, like, yeah, he's a good receiver. I would, you know, he's a solid number two. You know, that no question there. I just don't think he's, like, a boss or anything. Like, I wouldn't trade anything high value for him.
Would you rather have Golden Tate or Randall Cobb?
Golden Tate. Cobb is low-key average. Which college?
Low-key average at this point.
That's true. Which college will have the most first-round picks this year? Oh, good question. But one that's hard to know without looking.
Which
is it Bama? Minka? Payne is probably going to go round one.
What about NC State?
Maybe Ridley and Evans. And NC State's just going to have one, right? Chubb?
Oh, wait. Did it say first round?
No, yeah, first round.
Oh, whoa. Sorry.
Ohio State, Ward. That's it there this year, right? for first round.
I mean, Hubbard might go first round.
First. I'm gonna have to think about this one. I'm gonna have to go to have to
you
look
think,
it up.
You think Gesicki goes first round?
Yeah. I don't think so. I'm gonna go no. Do either of you have a favorite player in the league currently? Good question. Juju.
Oh, Juju's great.
I love Juju, man. Juju's up there.
I'm trying to think.
There's I love so Russell Wilson as a player. I've like reasons. Always loved Russell Wilson as a player. He's kind of goofy as a person, but
I mean, when he's healthy, Jason Verrett's still one of my favorite players in the league.
Yeah, he's scrappy.
As
soon as I get off the pod, I'll think of somebody and be like, "Oh,
yeah."
My
we'll
gosh.
Think of like everybody. Yeah. This is just how it goes.
Who are the most overrated and underrated prospects this year? We talked about overrated already a good bit, but I think probably in terms of where they're at, like Vita Vea is not a top 10 player in this class, and it's crazy that people think he is. Josh Allen, Daron Payne for sure to me.
Marcus Davenport's overrated for me.
Marcus Davenport. Those are all good options. Underrated, Fred Warner from BYU. Been on that, been pounding that, pounding the table for him. I think BJ Hill from NC State's good.
NC State's got some really good prospects this year, man.
Yeah, they're loaded up. They're real good.
Like that whole D line, basically, running backs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Damon Webb from Ohio State, the safety. I think he's really underrated, too.
He was good at the East West Shrine game.
Yeah.
Or the East West Shrine practices, I guess I should say. I always say game, but it's like I don't even watch the game.
He should have been at the Senior Bowl. My opinion. Who is this year's Dalvin Cook? Testing does not match what is seen on tape. For a running back, if it means for a running back, I mean, Michelle didn't really do great at the combine. He wasn't like bad, but I don't even, Cook didn't really even do that poorly at the combine. He just didn't really, was it just jumps, right? I mean,
he
still
right
ran
now.
Like a 4.4. People were like, oh, I thought he was faster. I'm like, then 4.4?
His shuttles were super trash.
Oh yeah, his three gun shuttles.
But he ran a 4.49. His vert was trash. Yeah, I mean, he didn't have a good combine.
Yeah, you're right. He didn't.
He did not have a good combine.
Maybe Michelle. I mean, Michelle wasn't nearly close to as bad as Cooks, but I'm trying to think of what other running backs had. I feel like everybody did pretty well for the most part. I know Penny did.
Sony Michelle was okay. I'm looking at his things right now.
Yeah, but
he was better than Cook. But
and he didn't even do everything. Right.
Yeah, but I do think that that's a good comparison, I guess, like mentally for Dalvin Cook, because it was like you saw Dalvin Cook do stuff, and then it's like, wow, he's super average. And I feel like Sony Michelle went into the combine, and a lot of people like Sony Michelle, and then they were like, oh wow, he's super average. But it's like, okay, he's not.
He only did the 40 in the 20-yard shuttle, so, and his 40 was fine. I mean, on tape he looks faster than 4.54. But I honestly am at that point where if you're a polished running back with clear cut tape that you know what you're doing and you have the vision and all that kind of stuff, contact balance, the vision, decisiveness, that burst. I honestly am to the point where I'm not even sure how much I care about. You know, look at what guys did at the combine, you know, even like some of the top guys in the class, in the last couple classes, like they didn't kill anything there. Gurley didn't even test. Elliott have bad agilities too, I think, and it doesn't matter, man.
Ooh,
the tape is the true test for running backs.
If he's not talking about running backs, my like Dalvin Cook ish prospect would have been Minka.
He ran like 4.47. He was
right. And like the 40 was fine.
He just didn't like jump high.
Vertical jump was like 17th percentile. Broad jump was like low 50s. Bench press was like 30s. Like,
but he didn't even do the agilities.
He
didn't do the agilities, right?
Right. And so like, I don't know. I feel like people went away from the combine thinking like Minka was super average.
Really? Man,
yeah.
I thought he was awesome. I was like, he looked great in the drills, and he ran a 4.47.
Well, okay, so like drills. I'm not talking about drills. I'm just talking. You know what this guy's talking about. You know what he's talking about with the question.
Yeah, I know.
It's like a results based thing.
I didn't see Mink. I just didn't come away disappointed.
Cook ran a 4.49, and people like didn't care about anything else he did.
Yeah, I mean that's true.
And Minka's first. What was Minka's first 40 time? Wasn't it?
He was in the 4.4s for both.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah, he was fast for both.
I just feel like people slept on Minka because
they
his jumps
did. I just wasn't one of those people, I guess. That's where all the Minka sliding talk comes from. I just always
it 100% it is.
I always thought he was kind of an 8 to 15 range guy, and that's kind of where he sounds like he's going. So, can you see someone drafting Brian O'Neill in the second? 100%, and they will regret it unless they develop him. Would you be surprised to see Malik Jefferson go to the Steelers in the first round if Evans isn't there? In the first round, yes. Second round, no. I think I could live with him in the second round. One more question. Who is the prospect you would both least like to see your respective teams draft in the first?
Oh, wow.
Good question.
Marcus Davenport.
Good choice. Any of the quarterbacks that would probably be there. I want to win now. Ben's playing a couple more years. I don't think they will draft a quarterback, but that's what I would just lose my mind. If they draft Mason Rudolph at the end of the first round, I'll literally break stuff in my house. And I'm not that type of fan usually, but it'll happen.
Marcus Davenport for me at 7, but obviously like at 7 is kind of realistic. Picking Denzel Ward, then picking Denzel Ward at 7 would also not be good.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right. I didn't know you felt that strongly about it, but
I like Ward. I did a really kind of like an in-depth write-up on him, and like I really like Denzel Ward. I think he could be a good draft pick and a good player for a team picking between like picks. I don't know, like 12 and 25, but picking him at 7 is too high, and Tampa Bay specifically picking him would just not get the most out of what he is good at. They don't run that kind of coverage. So
we're gonna have to unpack that a little bit in another episode, maybe. So there you have it, folks. Sorry we didn't get to everybody's questions. It's impossible. You guys are great, though. Really appreciate them. Ask them again next week. We'll prioritize them. Until next time, though, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.